Hi, welcome to Food Diversity. I'm Grace.
I'm Sophia.
I'm Brianna.
I'm Michaela.
And I'm Prachi.
We are the Global Community Kitchen at Oregon State University.
This podcast explores the relationship between social justice and food.
We will be talking to different cultural groups on campus to discuss their experience with food and their culture.
Hope you enjoy and can learn something new.
Disclaimer. All opinions discussed in this podcast are our own and do not represent those of Oregon State University. This podcast is solely for educational purposes.
Welcome to our second podcast. So first to start, we're just going to introduce the Global Community Kitchen. So the Global Community Kitchen is hosting this event and is a part of Student Experiences and Engagement, and specifically the Experiential Learning and Activities Department. In usual circumstances, we help diverse student groups and clubs make the foods they want to serve and enjoy their next big campus event. We have an industrial-sized kitchen at the Memorial Union Building, and usually our job is to help students, student groups, and mass produce food. The GCK enhances campus programming by partnering with students to utilize food for cultural sharing, learning, and community building.
Due to COVID, events are no longer occurring. Therefore, we wanted to expand the ways we engage with these student groups. The goal of this podcast is to provide the OSU community an opportunity to diversify their knowledge surrounding food and culture through amplifying different cultural groups and their members, like Jaisel and Neil, who are here today. Jaisel and Neil are members of the Isang Basing Filipino Cultural Group here at OSU. Can you introduce yourselves and say what your role is for the organization?
Yeah. Hi, what's up? I'm Jaisel. I'm a second year in OSU. It's also my second year in Isang Bansang Filipino. And I am its president. What up?
I'm Neil. I'm a third year here at OSU. It's also my third year at IBP. And I am its public relations officer.
Very cool. Thanks so much for joining us, Jaisel and Neil. We're excited to have you guys. So to start off, could we get you guys to briefly describe your group and what you guys do? And for instance, what kind of events you put on before and during COVID?
All right. So Isang Bansang Filipino, or IBP for short, is the Filipino Student Association at OSU. Community of Filipinos and non-Filipinos, you know, just anybody who's interested in Filipino culture. And like IBP is just a place where we can educate ourselves and the OSU community about, you know, what Filipino culture means and the different things we do in the Philippines and such. Both for pre and during COVID, most of our like educational and just our reach goes through our general meetings. We host a variety of workshops there, such as, you know, cooking, dance, more of a lecture style educational workshop. And then before COVID happened, we also have our Filipino Culture Night, or PCN for short, which is more of like a bigger event showcase directed towards the OSU community of like what Filipino culture is.
So with our community, family is like a very, very big aspect of Filipino culture. So I'd like to say that IBP and its community are just like one big happy family, you know, just a home away from home. That's what I like to see it as.
I love that. That was going to be my next question about like how you describe your culture, describe the culture of IPB at OSU and relationships that exist among members. But I feel like that answers that pretty well. Is there anything else you'd say about the relationships that you have among like with members of your group?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we like to play like a little bit more loose, you know. Again, like we just like you know, everyone's like coming from all sorts of places, and it's nice to have like people we can just like bond with, and like they'll help us out, whether with like our personal problems or like with more academic stuff, you know, what to do.
Yeah, it's really so, just like a big instant nice. Connection, you know. Once you join the club, that's pretty much it.
Oh, that sounds like such a nice community to have here.
Yeah, it sounds really great. Our next question that we wanted to ask is, how is food related to Filipino culture? Like, what is its importance to your guys' culture?
All right. Well, food is everything to our culture. All right. So like, when you go to like a Filipino like household, like at least in my experience, you know, if I bring someone over, my parents are always yelling at me to go get them food, bring them food, feed them, right? It's all about that, just all the hospitality, Filipino hospitality and all that. So, and like how I said that family is like a big part of Filipino culture and all that. So like literally anybody who I bring home will just be like become a part of our family. So like they're treated just like how my parents would treat me. And then like they'd always be invited for dinner and all that. And we'd have literally, they'd cook so much food, just a lot of food for this like one night and everything. But like this happens to like any occasion. So like parties, my gosh, there's like tables lined with food. It's amazing. Really. But yeah, so food literally is just a part of like this whole familial culture, and it really just connects all of us like and brings us all together.
That's awesome.
Jaisal, is there anything you'd want to add to that?
I mean, we kind of took everything with like, yeah, Filipinos with like their food. I mean, wait, hang on, sorry, I lost like my train of thought, but I was like, for my more recent experiences, like every time I'd come home to the Philippines, like people who would like want to meet up with us, they'd always want to do it like, hey, I'll meet you at like some restaurant and then you'll eat there. And then like you have another meetup coming up. It's like, oh, I'll meet you like on this restaurant. And then you'll like connect over food. But then also, like, depending on, like, context, like, food, like, the food itself and, like, what we're eating, like, it can have, like, a...
Very like, cool. Or and that's...
Not, like, quite literally, but, you know, like, you eat certain foods for, yeah, like, certain times. Yeah,
that
was actually...
I was going to ask that a little bit more about that question, because you mentioned, like, different holidays or celebrations or parties. Are there like specific dishes that are set for those certain holidays? And if there are, can you describe maybe one of them and the meaning and or history behind it?
Yeah. So for our really big like food kind of centered traditional time would be what we call medianoche, which is the like kind of dinner that takes place the midnight during New Year's, so like New Year's Eve to New Year's Day. We'd have like again another feast where we have like a variety of foods that each have like a different meaning. For example, like starting with just like kind of decorations, we'd always have a fruit, 12 different fruits that are round to attract good luck and prosperity, because the round fruits kind of like resemble coins, and that means you get more money throughout the year. And then we also like eat different foods, like, you know, like something sticky like rice cakes, or it's like some more of like the desserts. Your family will kind of stick together throughout the year. And then for birthdays, one of the more common ones is we cook noodles, pancit more specifically, which is like it's a noodle dish, like with usually rice noodles, but sometimes you can change it up. And it's got like different types of bowls in there, like, you know, some my mom would put like here for sarlis and like string beans, some carrots, some lettuce, and then usually like chicken, but you can also branch out to like shrimp, whatever is the mood. But yeah, we eat pancit for birthdays because the noodles like signify, like, you know, if the noodles are long, they signify a long life. So if you eat on your birthday, then you'll live a long life.
And I think that kind of goes into our next question about how celebrations in the U.S. differ from like what you've experienced in Filipino culture, like what your celebrations are in Filipino culture, and how they differ from here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So this is kind of like a different like turn on it, but in terms of like what you would call like a celebration, because in more certain like events here, like, you know, if a loved one passes away, right, you have like a funeral, like a wake, right? So like they usually just transport your loved one to the like service hall or church or whatever to have your like service, right? And just, yeah, that's how you would do funerals here. But like in the Philippines, it's like just one big celebration of life, you know? Like they would transport like the body and have like a parade like through the town, wherever, like to the church, and then they'd have a, like the parade all the way to the cemetery, and they do like a prayer there. And then literally for my grandpa and like my grandma, we had this like big celebration of life at the end, and it was like a party with like the whole block and just food everywhere, like literally just families just come together. It doesn't matter if you're part of the family or not, they everyone in the town just comes over to celebrate like the life of your loved one, which is what I would say is pretty cool.
I like that. It's like a little bit more like uplifting and like bringing the community together. Yeah, that way. Sure. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to add anything to that, Giselle?
Yeah, well, in terms of like a more general, because like that's a strictly more Filipino type of celebration, but if, in terms of more of a celebration, my example, like from what I remember when I first got here as a kid, was just a birthday party I attended. And as I mentioned earlier, like we both mentioned, like when we have like a birthday, like everybody, like, you know, there's tables and tables of food, you know, everybody, like the birthday, their friends, and then all their parents are there, and we're all like hanging out, you know, it's a big community type party. And that was what I found, like what I saw is like a difference kind of here. I remember, you know, attending like a birthday party here when I was a kid, and it was like really fun, like more hanging out, and then it was like mostly like the kids, you know, and just it was like, yeah, it was more hanging out, on like emphasis on like the birthday celebrant, and then we just have like pizza, ice cream,
just kind of centered around different the typical aspects of the party,
birthday party out here.
And then back to the food a little bit more. Yeah. Then I start getting hungry. But can you describe your favorite Filipino dishes? Maybe if you guys could each describe one.
Yeah, sure. So, like, main one is adobo, right? It's hard to describe this one because there's so many variations of adobo. It's like, sometimes it's like a soup. Sometimes it could be dry. It's like different types of meat. It could be chicken, pork, beef, or literally anything you could have. There's even like squid if you wanted to, but that's a different thing. But like, you know, the most base thing I could say is that it's like something braised, a meat that's braised, and then like soy sauce and vinegar that's like reduced down to a nice sauce that's just very savory. It's delicious. It's amazing. And you just eat it with rice because that's how it is.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
And then like you got the peppercorn. Sometimes you'd accidentally eat the peppercorn while you're trying to eat it. And then one of my other favorite, not much of a dish, but I guess like more of a dessert with like a lot of memories. I just love leche flan, which is like a custard dessert, and it's got like a caramel layer on top of it. And it's like one of like the main desserts, and it's like made in like a specially made container called Dayanera, and it's like an oval. And yeah, it's kind of my favorite.
Sounds really, really good. And now that we're kind of on the topic of our favorite dishes and stuff, have you guys been able to find anything like specifically in Corvallis or on campus that has like Filipino dishes, or like, is there a store that you can go to find like Filipino ingredients? Like, how's that represented on campus?
Mm-hmm. So like, I know that in my first year, you know, when everything was still open, all that, Ring of Fire and like West Dining Hall had like rotations of different Asian countries, and the Philippines is one of them. So they had a few Filipino dishes there that you could order from. I think it was on a Thursday. That was interesting. But like, in terms of like finding ingredients, it's kind of hard to find like specific Filipino ingredients in Corvallis. But like, usually the popular ones are in like the Asian stores, like rice and spice. But yeah.
And have you been able to make any Filipino dishes while living in Corvallis? It sounds like it's kind of, yeah, tricky to find ingredients or places that way. But have you been able to pull that off?
You know, like, we definitely have. But, like, sometimes it'd be, like, slightly modified to, like, accommodate for the ingredients that we actually do have. Like, but, like, our parents have been able to, so it's kind of how we learned here too, right? So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Again, like what we mentioned with like adobo, it's like soy sauce, vinegar. I mean, like with the foods we mentioned earlier, I remember adobo is like one of the more like common one we do. So like, I mean, it's like soy sauce, vinegar, and some bay leaves. Peppercorns, like that's pretty simple, but it's like
that sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds really good.
Home food, and then recently we've been doing a lot more baking, because like baking some Filipino treats, they're a little bit more easy to do because like baking materials are a lot more easier to come by, you know. So yeah,
awesome. And then I think like kind of switching from more of like a food orientated to talking about your cultural night. So can you maybe talk about like what happens during the cultural night and how like how it is important to you and the club, like in
general? Yeah, for sure. So like in our Filipino culture night, so PCN, it's usually this big event where we showcase like Filipino culture. There's like it's usually tied around themes, right? So like it could be anything, but like we try to showcase like dance, like traditional dances, where like our members can come together and like learn a dance and they showcase it to their families. The food, like GCK helps with that. We'll talk about that in a bit. And then like, just, yeah, we literally just based it off of themes, but like, I know that both of us haven't had the chance to attend a PCN, sadly. I did have the chance of being on like the planning committee last year, and we really did everything we could to make an amazing night to like showcase our culture. All of the members who participated in like the traditional dances, like put countless hours into it. We were all practicing. Every time we were together, we'd like just make sure we all got it, you know? And then like some even had to travel to Salem just to learn a dance because like one of our teachers were over there. And so I'd like to say it's pretty important to like the club, and like we were all pretty sad that it didn't get to happen.
Yeah, that sounds disappointing to like put all that work in and like even traveling all over the place to like put all the pieces together and just be like, oh, can't happen. But hopefully you guys get to have it next year, or at least
that's something. Yeah, for sure.
And then has the GCK had an impact on your ability to put on these kinds of events and cultural nights?
Yeah, in general, you know, I mentioned earlier, we do host some cooking workshops, you know, because, again, for like the more food-centered meetings we have, and usually those would take place in the GCK, and the GCK would like provide for using, and then usually these cooking workshops would be like one of our more attended meetings because of the free food. but yeah, for PCN, like, we have a menu in place for those who attend, you know, have a dinner for the night. And we work with the GCK to like look for recipes for the menu that we have planned. Just like testing out those recipes and helping us like source the ingredients and all the supplies we need to just, you know, make like all the food and have like a wonderful dinner.
That sounds awesome. Yeah. Anything you want to add?
No, that's pretty much it. You know, like I'd say it's a pretty fun time, you know, food testing and all that.
That's awesome. And I know we kind of touched on this with the PCN and it getting canceled, and that's such a bummer, but could you possibly like explain maybe some different ways that the pandemic has affected your group? Maybe like in meetings, because you guys previously talked about like you're such a big family. So has the pandemic like impacted being able to meet or anything like that?
Yeah. So honestly, yeah, I miss everyone, right? Like we miss our members. And obviously with our set meeting times when the pandemic wasn't in effect, like obviously we could like meet together at like our specific time, but you know, meetings have been kind of hard. Everyone like lives kind of far away, you know, different time zones sometimes. So like, it's hard to have a specific set time to meet, but we try our best, you know, it's all good. You know, yeah. Retaining membership is hard when it comes to all of this stuff with different times.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, but with like incoming students too, like they might, like, you know, like they don't know anybody yet, they're like the usual events aren't happening, they don't like maybe see the value in like committing to it right now, but they like they otherwise would have. On that note, what are you most excited to do once we're allowed to meet in person again?
Well, for me, it's just like, again, just being together again in like one big room, you know, because like literally when our meetings happen and we're all together, You just join in, then you congregate, you just talk with everyone. It's just a fun time. We get our meeting going on, and after the meeting, we just chill at the end, you know? And sometimes we just go get food, because that's how it is. That's what I'm looking forward to the most, is just being able to just go eat with people.
Yeah, I really miss, you know, we call it Filipino time, but like our meetings are set for like 5:30 to like 7, but sometimes like since we're hanging out in the beginning, I kind of miss that part where we just like, you know, talk the first 5 minutes of our meeting time, just chilling. And also just I'm hoping that I can experience, you know, a PCN. You know, it seemed like really hype with like, you know, all the preparation that was happening before it was canceled. So I wish I get to like experience one before I graduate.
Yeah, that PCN definitely sounds like a lot of fun. Are there any like Filipino traditions that you guys in particular, or you see your family members like want to pass down to future generations? And what are some like Filipino core values that you don't really want to see like diminish, or you want to see people like keep up with?
Yeah, sure. For, you know, for me, I'm very traditional in all this. Like my family is very traditional. So like there's a thing where it's like mano, you know, your hand, and then like you bring it up to, or usually like an adult or like an elderly person would like do that, and then you take their hand and you put it on your forehead, right? As a sign of respect, you know. It's like mano po, bless, right? All that. So I would like to just pass that down, you know, just because I think it's important to have respect within a family tie, you know. I also think it's cute because my brother's like, he's like 6, and we taught him that. So I would, whenever I'd come home, I'd just put out my hand and then he'd do it. And it's kind of funny.
That's awesome. That's so cute. That must be fun to be like,
oh, yeah, brother, no, it's weird. It's
yeah.
Definitely weird.
I bet.
What about you, Jaisal?
Yeah, so traditions wise, I mean, I hope to be able to pass on like just more of our fun ones, you know, celebrating like different types of occasions, and like in general, just positive when we can, like when times are tough, you know, crack a joke here, be like, no, don't get too bogged down, like kind of not do anything about it, but you know, just kind of, you know, relax, chill, we'll all get through this, you know. And then like a core value would be like, you know, just the importance of family, like whether it be like your blood family or a family that you've like found, and just like
awesome. Do you think also you could tell us a little bit about the typhoon that occurred recently in Philippines and how our listeners can help? We noticed on your Instagram that you guys were kind of doing some advocacy for this.
Yeah, actually, early November last year, the Philippines was hit with 2 consecutive typhoons, Typhoon Goni and Typhoon Vamco. Typhoon Goni, which is the first one that hit, is like the equivalent of about a Category 5 hurricane. And then Typhoon Vamco was about a Category 4 equivalent. So like, if you can imagine a Category 5 and a 4 hitting like back to back, it's like pretty devastating.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You know, people like have died being swept away by the flood, or like being buried by landslides. water, like, and then also just the flooding in general has displaced like millions of Filipinos. I believe like some small villages by the river like were swept away in some areas. So yeah, it's like been pretty devastating. And then to add with like, you know, COVID, like it's hard to like, you know, like all the people like displaced, like they have to go somewhere. COVID going around, it's hard to like get them in like one safe area, like evacuation center, because, you know, with social distancing and whatnot. And yeah, as for listeners, how they can help, you know, as like months have been passing by, like less and less people have been like, you know, pushing for relief for those people. But we do have, we have like found NAFCON, which is the National Alliance for Filipino Concerns, still have their fund. And like, we believe like just fundraising is like pretty helpful with like these types, because it's hard to like ship over like specific items and knowing what items people are in need of. Plus like a US dollar is worth about 50 Philippine pesos, so like a little donation can just go a long way.
Yeah, so definitely urge the listeners to head to those fundraiser pages and try to help out as best as possible. And I think we kind of answered our next question, which was more about like the fundraisers. But have you guys put on a specific fundraiser for the Typhoon Relief, like your group in particular?
Not like IBP like directly, but so like IBP is like part of an alliance, the Northwest Filipino American Student Alliance. And like back in November, they did hold a fundraiser and we helped promote that, and our members did donate to that. And I believe we raised over like $5,000 for the Kabataan That's awesome. Alliance like relief fund. Yeah.
Very cool. And then kind of like, this is our last question, but can you tell, it's kind of related again to current events going on in the Philippines, but can you tell us about the Junker Terror Bill and why is this hashtag important, and kind of explain what the Terror Bill is?
Yeah, for sure. So like the Junk Terror Bill is like referred to a proposed bill that's said to be like an anti-terrorism act, and the act like criminalizes the incitement of like terrorism by means of like speeches or protests or even like social media posts against like the government, right? And then like it gives, this act like gives law enforcement like all authority to arrest anyone without warrant, basically by like their own judgment. So yeah, and then like sadly this bill was like turned into a law, but like we use the hashtag to raise awareness for everyone here, and yeah, basically that.
And the awareness is kind of in hopes to hopefully like remove the bill, is that kind of the idea? I mean, I know that the bill has already been passed, correct? So there's not
mm-hmm.
That's tricky. Is there anything like our listeners can do to help with this, like just kind of raising awareness, or how have you guys been going about this?
No, we've been working with like just like organizations, local organizations that help with this.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's one, Anak Bayan, PDX. Anak Bayan is like a whole like organization, and then PDX is their Portland branch. Mm-hmm. And then like there's also Gabriella Portland, and then like Malaya Movement. It's just they all do this to like raise awareness for the stuff that's happening there. So we just work with them to just get the word out to our members.
Gotcha. Well, that is all our questions for today. So thank you so much for joining us, and we're excited to hopefully work with you guys in person soon for your Filipino cultural night. Does that sound
super fun to hear about all the different things?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Thank you all for inviting us.
Yeah. That was great to meet you.
Nice meeting you.